المهتدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتمى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى. صدق الله العظيم.
In our previous session, we talked about the hardship that Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu went through in Makkah al-Mukarramah and the steps he took for helping the Muslims and conveying the message of Islam. And finally, how he was forced to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. There is hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiyallahu anha says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah Mukarramah, and his intention was to go to Habasha, Eritrea, because most of the Muslims had migrated, or many Muslims had migrated over there, the king, whose title was Najashi, was a very nice person and very helpful to Muslims, although he was a Christian. And of course, as we know from the seerah, that later on he became Muslim. In fact, one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was related with this King Najashi. That when he died, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, he died as Muslim and there is no one right now over there to perform the Salatul Janazah for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have removed everything between here to Habasha, and I can see his Janazah just in front of me. He asked the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in to make the lines for Salatul Janazah, and he performed the Salatul Janazah from there. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu decided to go over there to Eritrea and live over there. On his way, he found a person whose name was Ibn al-Dughunna. Ibn al-Dughunna was one of the leaders in Quraysh, and mainly he was a leader for his own tribe. When he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leaving Makkah and going somewhere else, traveling by himself, he asked him, Aina turidu ya Abu Bakr? Where are you going, Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied, Inna qawmi akhrajoni min Makkah. My people have forced me out of my own town. Now I would like to go somewhere else where I can perform the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely, and no one will disturb me and stop me from performing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to live in this town anymore. Ibn al-Dughunna said to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Ya Abu Bakr, mithluka la yakhruju wa la yukhraj. Very important word. مِثْلُكَ لَا يَخْرُجْ وَلَا يُخْرُجْ. A disbeliever, a person who is not a mu'min, but he can appreciate what this great man is doing for the service of the people over there. He said to Abu Bakr, a person like you should never leave his town, and a person like you can never be forced out of his town. We need you in Makkah, Abu Bakr. People with your qualities are needed in our town. We need more people like you, Abu Bakr. We can't afford to let you go. Abu Bakr, come with me. I'll take care of everything. No one will disturb you anymore. No one will hurt you anymore. Come back to Makkah Mukarramah. We need you in our town. And then he mentioned some qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ. You join the relationship. You feed the poor. You work for the needy. And you are helping everyone in the town. The thing I would like to remind at this point, this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the same qualities that Ibn al-Dughunna had mentioned at this time, at this occasion for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, these are the same qualities we find that Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the time he received the prophethood. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received the first revelation, he went back home and didn't know what's going on now. First time he sees Angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was afraid. He went to Aisha radiallahu anha and he said, Khiftu ala nafsi. I'm afraid something will happen to me. Aisha radiallahu anha, Khadija radiallahu anha, mentioned the same qualities that Ibn al-Dughunna mentioned for Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. And she said, Ya Rasul, Ya Muhammad, nothing can happen to you. Because I know there is a Lord. I know there is Allah. And I have this much trust in that God, that He will not let anything happen to you. A person like you who's serving people so nicely and who's helping people, every person in the town, joining the relationship, feeding the needy people and poor people and helping all the needy people. A person like you, nothing can happen to him. And this tells us how close these two people were in their behaviors, in the different qualities they had. And really, looking at the seerah, we can tell that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was exactly at the steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only in things that we have control over it. Not only after seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he learned it from him. We can say that he was really created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the same nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly gave him the things that are out of our control. Even in those things, he was able to do everything, and everything was done in his life according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a very simple example is his death and the age of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that a person, no one has any control over it, but he had the same age almost as much as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 63 years. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went back to Makkah Mukarramah. Ibn al-Dughunna went to the leaders of Quraysh, he talked to them, he said, now I take care of this matter, and I guarantee that Abu Bakr is not going to hurt you people, but I don't want anyone to hurt Abu Bakr. Finally, they all agreed to this with one condition, that we don't want Abu Bakr to openly do the worship of Allah. He can do it at his home. Now we know he's Muslim, but since you are giving him the refuge, you're taking care of that, you're taking the responsibility, so okay, we will honor what you're saying, but the condition is we want Abu Bakr to do all of his ibadah inside his home, nothing outside of his home. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu agreed to that. And In those days, of course, they had small homes. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, inside his home, but of course, a place, there was no ceiling. One of the rooms where they were, there was no ceiling in the house. He started doing the salah in that room, and he named it masjid. So he made that room of the house a masjid. And started doing the ibadah in that room. The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. Very amazing situation took place after this. That tells us what is the book of Allah, what is Kalamullah, what is the beauty of it, what is the effect and impact of it if we really use it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of course, is required to do the ibadah only inside his home. So in that room, he performs the salah, and every night he's doing a lot of prayer, salat al-tahajjud. And all of these prayers, he liked to recite Quran loudly. The hadith says, وَكَانَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَجُلًا بَكَّاءً لَا يَمْلِكُ دُمُوعًا. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to cry a lot. He could not control his tears when he would recite Quran al-Kareem. So as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be performing the salah in that room and reciting Quran al-Kareem during the salah, and he cries and cries and prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some time people had seen that a big crowd of women and children out of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home, all of them would like to listen to that beautiful recitation of Quran al-Kareem. Who are these women? These are not the Muslim women. These were the women of the Kuffar of Quraysh. These youth and children who are getting together outside of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home to listen to that recitation, they are all non-Muslims. And they all get together around Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home. The wording of Sahih al-Bukhari says, فَيَتَقَصَّفُ النِّسَاءُ وَالْأَطْفَالُ عَلَيْهِ. يَتَقَصَّف means they all used to get crowded outside of his home. That means they're falling on each other, because each of them would like to be closest to the wall of the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to listen to that recitation of Quran al-Kareem. Kuffar of Quraysh called Ibn al-Dawunna. They said, you know, we meant Abu Bakr should do it secretly. And here all of our women and children are running after him. They would like to listen to his recitation. He cries and they cry. And they listen to that recitation. Tell Abu Bakr not to do that. Ibn al-Dawunna went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he said, I gave you the refuge. And you were under, or we should say, under my protection in Makkah Mukarramah. Now the Kuffar of Quraysh are having this concern that you recite Quran loud and you cry so people hear you reciting. So do it in the inside your home, in the dark place, in the secret place, so people can listen to you. Don't recite it loud. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Ibn al-Dawunna, رَدَدْتُ إِلَيْكَ جَوَارُكَ وَرَضِيتُ بِجَوَارِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. I'm returning your protection to you and your refuge to you. Take back your protection. I don't need your protection anymore. And I'm pleased with the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Dawunna tried to explain to Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, see the hardship that you were going through, for which you had to leave this town. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the maximum will happen is I will have to leave the town. But I cannot stop reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kalamullah, the way I want. If you would like to have any control over me, because you are protecting me in reciting Quran al-Kareem, and how loud or low pitch I should use for the recitation of Quran al-Kareem, I cannot do that. Take the protection back, and I don't need any protection from you. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, please, we would like to migrate out of this town. Within few days of that situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, now we are supposed to migrate to Medina Munawwara. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was one of the first people to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, then I would like to go to Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to leave Makkah. He said, now you are not allowed to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had something special for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in his mind. And we all know that. And inshallah we'll talk about it later on. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's being in Makkah Mukarramah was very helpful to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially for two different reasons. One was, as Ali radiallahu anhu says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most brave person to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah. There is hadith in Musnad al-Bazzar, narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, once I was by the Kaaba, and I was a child. The Kuffar of Quraysh, when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering into the Haram and coming back to the Kaaba, one of them went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, are you the person who says there is only one God and there are no other gods? He said, yes. And that person started pulling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sheath. And he threw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down. Ali radiallahu anhu says, another person came and started punching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and gradually all of them surrounded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everyone is torturing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ways. He says, I started crying. There was nothing that I could do at that age. I was crying, and no one could dare to go and stop that torture from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of a sudden I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu entering into the Haram. He started crying when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that situation, and he started pulling all the kuffar of Quraysh away and help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many occasions in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the person who was able to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those situations. And the second thing that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was needed in Makkah at that time, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go out to spread the message of Islam for the da'wah of Islam. And this is a very important point for us to learn and to know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's main goal of spreading the message of Islam was the different clans of Quraysh or different clans of Arabs that used to come for Hajj during the days of Hajj. Of course, even before Islam, the Kuffar of Quraysh and all the Arabs, because they thought they are following the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Originally, as we talked about it on the day of Eid, originally, all the Arabs were on the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Gradually, as the idol worshipping came into Arabia, their deen started changing. And finally, they got to a situation when there were only few, and I don't want to call them ibadahs because there were no ibadahs, there were few things left over from the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, there were only titles. And the whole ibadah within that title was changed. One of them was Hajj. The Hajj that was performed by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was totally different than the Hajj was performed by these kuffar of Quraysh. But at least they used to come for Hajj thinking that we are following Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And how big the changes were, of course, is out of this topic, but there will be something to know and to learn that will give us an idea that when Shaitan brings the changes in deen, in fact, we should say, when we start making changes in our deen, how far these changes can go. We might think this is only something minor and this is the only step that I'm taking. I won't do nothing after this. This is the only minor change we would like to bring. But how far these changes can go, just think about it. When Amr bin Luhay, the first person who brought the idol worshipping into Arabia, as it's the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have seen Amr bin Luhay in the hellfire. The first person, أول من بدل دين العرب. The first person to change the deen of Arabs. Because they were all following the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The first person to bring the idol worshipping. What was the reason that he brought that idol? Very minor reason. For a very minor reason. This clan of Quraysh was called, or of Arabs, was called Khuza'ah. Amr bin Luhay was from Khuza'ah. Originally, after Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu was salam, Khuza'ah were not in Makkah. There was another clan in Makkah. When these people came to Makkah, they took over the other people. The Khuza'ah came, they took over the other people. Now, when these people took over the other clan that was living, residing in Makkah Mukarramah, those people who were residing in Makkah at that time, they realized that these people are going to take over. They buried the well of Zamzam. So there was no Zamzam anymore in Makkah. There were only two important things in that desert. One, Kaaba. The second was Zamzam. Kaaba was for their ibadah and for their worship and for their respect and honor. Their honor was through the Kaaba. And Zamzam, they used to survive under Zamzam. This was their treasure. That was everything for them. So those people thought if we will bury the Zamzam, they won't be allowed to, or they won't be able to live in Makkah peacefully. They will have to work very hard to bring water from other towns into Makkah. Of course, they managed it. And we know that after the hundreds of years, the person who dig the well of Zamzam again was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, Abdul Muttalib. So when those people covered the Zamzam, and these people had no clue where that well of Zamzam is, when Amr bin Luhay went to Syria and he found those people worshipping these idols, he asked them, what do these idols do for you? So they say, you know, these idols, they help us when we need anything. If for hungry people, they feed the hungry people, they provide water for the thirsty people. He thought, if I would take this idol back to Makkah, at least he will tell us where the water of Zamzam is. That was the main reason he brought that idol over there in Makkah. To get back the well of Zamzam. Of course, they never got it back, but the idol worshipping ends there. And it continued, and it increased and increased. Finally, there were two people who were living away from Makkah, man and woman, boy and a girl, who loved each other, who got into love with each other, and they wanted to marry each other, but both their parents were not ready for that. So this boy and a girl decided that this year we will ask our parents to go for Hajj. Once we go over there for Hajj, we will get together over there and we'll see each other over there. So it will be a nice opportunity to be together at least for some time. The reason... You see that smile on me, because nowadays, this is nothing new, when nowadays our youth will use the masajid or the functions for these type of gatherings, that at least we will get into the masjid and we will have some way of talking to each other. If parents are not willing, that's fine, we'll find another way. So those people, when they came to Makkah, it was the time for Hajj. Both of these people, one of them, the man's name was, the boy's name was Isaf, and the girl's name was Naila. So Isaf and Naila, when they got together, just outside of the Haram, Haram was very small, outside of the Haram, at a place where the Safa and Marwa is, the two mountains that was out of sight of the Haram at that time. Well, a'yazu billah, they committed adultery over there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make them a lesson for human beings till the day of judgment. After they were finished committing the adultery over there because of the respect of that home, as we know that even Abraha was punished over there before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they both were chained into idols. And those two idols were a lesson for people that you must respect the house of God. There is no prophet to convey the message. So these means were used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey the message of the greatness of this sacred home of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the kuffar of Quraysh and to the earth. So those people put one isaf, they put isaf on Safa and they put Naila on the mountain of Marwa, on top of the two mountains, so people can see them from far away and they get a lesson that, see, don't commit this type of sin in this town. After some time, people forgot about all of that. And as they used to worship other idols, they started worshipping these two idols also. And their running between Safa and Marwa was considered, according to their understanding, that when we go to this side, we are going to Isaf, we are going to that side, we are going to Naila. These are the two lords that are standing on two mountains, and we are worshipping these two lords by running between the two. This is how far the changes can go. Anyway, going back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to the kuffar of Quraysh to convey the message of Islam to them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was needed at that time because he was very knowledgeable, very intelligent, very wise person. He was able to handle those people very nicely, so he used to go with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would talk to those people. Of course, when another person will say, this is a prophet of Allah, I believe in him, I'm from Arabs, I'm from Quraysh, I'm this and this, introduce himself and then say who this person Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, will be more effective than Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, I'm the prophet of Allah, I'm this and I'm this. And especially Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was very intelligent and very learned about all the backgrounds and the ancestors of the Arabs. So usually he would go to a clan and tell them which clan you are from. And they will say, we are from such and such clan. So he will mention all of their ancestors and everything about them. So they would get very close to Abu Bakr. Oh, he knows all of our forefathers. He knows my father, my grandfather. He knows my uncles. So now they would listen to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. One of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, says, he says, I was a child, we went for Hajj. I saw three people who were going around. I asked my father, Dad, who are these three people? He said, one of them is Muhammad al-Hashimi, because he was from the clan of Banu Hashim. So they used to call him al-Hashimi. He said, one of them is Muhammad al-Hashimi. And he is conveying the message of Islam to the people, and he's asking people to believe in him as a prophet. The second person who's supporting him is Abu Bakr. And the third person who's cursing at him is his uncle Abu Lahab. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go around spreading the message of Islam, Abu Lahab always would follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell the people, I'm his uncle, this is my nephew, I know everything about him, don't worry about what he says. Don't listen to what he has to say. At that time, another person was needed. A person who has great respect among the Arabs, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who can explain to the people, although he's his uncle, but I know what the situation is, and this is exactly what the real situation is. That was the main thing where someone like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was really needed. Otherwise, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to people, don't listen to my uncle and listen to me, that won't work. He's your uncle. But another person, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he would explain, then people were willing to listen to the words of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and at least they will not just go with what Abu Lahab had to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With all of these hardships that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were going through, finally, the kuffar of Quraysh realized that there is no way we have tortured them, we have done everything we can for them. The only thing now, the best way of stopping these, all of this is what's going on, is wal-ayazu billah, to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And finally, they made that decision, and they had all of their plans to act according to that decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They were making their plans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was making his plan. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah is the best planner. Aisha radiallahu anha says in the hadith which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that once at the time in the afternoon, we saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam coming in the blistering heat of Makkah. He never used to come at that time, and no one would leave his home at that time. We said to Abu Bakr, my father, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming. He said, there has to be something very important for which is coming today at this time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went in the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home, and he said to him, I have to talk to you very secretly about a very important matter. Something very important is a revelation, but I have to talk to you secretly. From there on, they made their plans, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed them. Inshallah, we'll talk about that secret and what they did after that, and the plan of the kuffar of Quraysh to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll talk about that inshallah in our next session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to sirat al-mustaqim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimina wal muslimat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.